This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Here, Fletcher is going to join us coming up in about half an hour or so. Georgia Tech rocking and rolling. Nell's got it going on. Some folks believe they played themselves into the dance, doing their thing.
Okay.
Obviously, last night, Florida State, Louisville was the main attraction front of the league, really around the country. And who better to break that down than our
buddy?
Come
on now. Get the MOP in here.
Hancock, the unverified one. What's happening?
It's never going to go away. I love it. I love it.
I hope. And listen, you and I are the last two standing in the unverified column, so we got that going for us. Luke, last night, the last 15 to 17 minutes of the game, that's as good as maybe I've seen a team play this year. I mean, defensively, Florida State was sensational. And offensively, you know, everybody contributed. When they play that way, and again, forget the Tucker Center being 22-0, down the stretch. I mean, that was just a team last night that looked like, hey, tonight we are going to own this, and they did. They were great.
They were fantastic. I was just saying, I think the way they imposed their will on the defensive end was special. I think it shows they're one of the best teams in the country as far as being able to force those turnovers. Louisville did get in a little foul trouble. I think they had some personnel issues. Malik Williams got hurt in that game, which kind of changes their dynamic. But you mentioned that Florida State can do it from so many different ways. They got so many guys that can fill it up, shoot the basketball, drive to the rim. They had some thunderous dunks last night. I was absolutely blown away in the second half with what Florida State was about.
So, Luke, let's go perspective here. I mean, you've played on a team that ultimately won the whole deal. When you see Florida State, it's about the variables, isn't it, as much as it is a singular thing at this point?
Absolutely. I look at the pieces to the puzzle. You know, both of these teams are too good of basketball teams to lose games just because they don't shoot it well from three. And I think what's affecting Louisville right now is they're trying to shoot too many threes, and their game is dictated whether they make them or not. Florida State in that second half, they didn't shoot a ton of threes. They said, we're going to go right down your throat. We're going to drive it to the rim, create contact, create opportunities, because they had bigger, better, more athletic guards than the Louisville Cardinals.
Look, I don't know if I've seen a team as good as Louisville have almost, forget making a shot down the stretch, just making a pass. I mean, it was such a dynamic defensive effort that you're like, well, man, as soon as some guy is still wide open at 22 feet, man, just throw it up there, because we can't do anything with this defense. It was unbelievable.
Well, their strategy, knowing that they are bigger, more athletic guards, was to just take away passing lanes to try and force a lot of one-on-one play. I don't know what the statistics were as far as how many times Louisville had to dribble the basketball to create an opportunity, but it was incredible. They weren't passing. They weren't getting good shots for teammates. It was, how do you get in the paint, and then what are you going to do when you get in there? Fresh Kimball did a good job. Ryan McMahon did a good job, but at the end of the day, you're a 6'1" guard, and you're going against a 6'6", 6'7" guard that's big and athletic, and they just couldn't, with any consistency, put together some solid offense. I agree with you. It was incredible the way Florida State took them out of what they wanted to do. Even pick and rolls were started near half court, initiating their offense and trying to get Jordan Ward going was impossible last night.
All right, so we have seen the top three kind of go round and round here, and obviously Virginia is going to be a factor as the four seed in play against both Louisville and Duke before the regular season ends. So I'm going to kind of go with the top three here. What have you seen from those three? And if you had to invest today in one to win in Greensboro, I mean, I know you said you think Florida State's capable of a deep run. Who do you invest in the short term maybe to win in Greensboro among the three?
Yeah, I've been highest on Florida State. You know, when you have a team that can play 15 guys, you know, their rotation is so deep. They've got so many guys that can come in the game and contribute, score a lot of points. I mean, MJ Walker and Anthony Polite coming off the bench. Are you kidding me? This Florida State team, just with the tools they have, can be really, really good. If I were a betting man and had to choose a team right now, I'm taking Florida State to cut down the nets. And it is absolutely incredible that this won't be Florida State's first chance at winning an ACC regular season title. Luke, they've been good for a long, long time.
Luke, what's your take now with Louisville? And again, this is still a really talented team that can not only win the ACC, they can win the national championship. They're that good. But when you have a game like this last night, and again, this is a team that also beat Louisville in their backyard earlier this season. I mean, Louisville's got to know that, hey, you know what? Florida State's a problem. We may see these guys again. You know, we've beaten Duke at Cameron and so forth, and Virginia, same thing. Where's the mindset of Louisville now moving forward for the rest of the regular season, getting ready for the ACC tournament and postseason play?
Yeah, they've only got two games left. Their schedule kind of sets up well for them to get a ton of practice time right now. The game I would be worried about, you got to still go to JPJ in Charlottesville the last game of the season and get it done. And UVA is looking at it. We got Duke and Louisville left on our schedule, and we need to win one of those games. So I think there's work left to do. It's not can Louisville play well. You know, can they be one of the better teams in the country? It's can they consistently do it? Can they play for 40 minutes and put together a run to win the ACC tournament, give themselves a 1-2-3 seed, and then make a run in the NCAA tournament? That's where my question marks are. I'm not sure if they have the consistent guard play to get it done. And I'll tell you this, Malik Williams had a lot of emotion on his face after twisting his ankle last night. If he doesn't come back, this team is very, very different. You saw him play small ball for the first time this year yesterday because they didn't have an option at the five when Stephen Enoch got in foul trouble. And I'll tell you this, Louisville small ball versus Florida State small ball, I'm taking Florida State every single time.
Well, it also brings us to how the balance on the backside goes. And you mentioned this about Virginia. They still got Duke, and they still have Louisville to go. There's some out there that, and I think Joe Lunardi Pack had Virginia kind of like in their last four byes. So Virginia's right. Not this lock, stock, and barrel situation, at least in some respect. But Virginia's going to have an edge here, and Luke, they're maybe the most improved team in the last 6 weeks anyway in this league.
I agree with that. I think Tomas Woldentensai has been a big X factor for them. He's shooting the basketball at a much higher clip. He's just shooting more shots, and they're just seeing a couple more go in. If you watch him, it's not, you know, wide open standstill jumpers anymore. He's coming off double screens. He's flying to the basketball, and he's been able to knock down shots playing with a lot of confidence. He has really changed this team. You know the defense will travel. That is the version of basketball lunch pail defense. They're going to be there every single night, home or away. It's just a matter if they can score enough points. And in regards to playing, you know, some of the better teams in this league, they scored 73 points against Louisville in a loss. That hasn't happened for over a year. That was some of the best basketball Virginia's played and not come up with a W. I think they're going to be ready, fueled for a rematch.
All right, tonight NC State has a really critical game.
Must win.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, this is, well, I mean, it really seems to be. If you're, from an NCAA tournament standpoint, it's the kind of game that, hey, when you take on the last place team in your league, you can ill afford to lose it. If you win it, you're not going to get a ton of credit, but it's kind of like a nightmare scenario. This is a team you got to beat that has had your number. They wore you out a month ago. They've not won a game in a month, and now you got to go to their house. You know they're sick and tired of losing, but every time North Carolina sees NC State, it appears the Tar Heels play well. This is kind of a danger game tonight for NC State.
I think it's an extremely dangerous game. I'm just waiting for UNC to turn a corner, honestly. I think they got some personnel issues a little bit, but they still have pretty good players. I'm shocked that they haven't gotten some momentum and kind of turned things around a little bit more. I wouldn't want to be playing that team right now. I know they're going to be fired up at home. It's another one. Can NC State be consistent enough? When you look at the top three teams in this league, they all have depth and they all have toughness. If you look at NC State, I think they got depth. I think they have two guys in every position that can come in and contribute. Can Markel Johnson be a facilitator for them that continually gets them great shots on the offensive end? And somebody inside has to play well, whether it's Manny Bates or DJ Funderburk. They have to really contribute stopping Armando Bacot and Garrison Brooks.
Are we to the point where we need to look beyond the top four or five, maybe for somebody in Greensboro? And I mean, I saw Notre Dame Sunday night, and they delivered exactly what I thought they would. I mean, they went through a barrage. They looked like a bunch of Hancocks out there shooting the ball at one point in the first half.
10 threes that first half.
See, that was they were living in your world, weren't they, in the first half?
I could have played for Mike Bray.
Yeah, you would have gotten plenty of looks. So the idea here, Notre Dame, how about, you know, here's Georgia Tech, Clemson tonight, Syracuse certainly on that ledger. Is there anybody you see that like, maybe one or two wins in Greensboro potentially go to Friday night and spoil the card of the top four?
Guys, Clemson's beat everybody at the top of this league. How could you not look at them and think, man, these guys might be able to string together a couple wins? You mentioned Notre Dame. I think John Mooney's one of the best bigs in the entire country and has just not gotten enough respect this year. If they shoot the basketball like that, they can upset anybody. They have a pretty simple game plan, but they have the ability to knock down shots and they can really change games from the three. I think Clemson's got to have a ton of confidence when they go into the ACC tournament because they've beaten some of the best teams in this league. Those two in particular for me are going to be the ones you watch for upsets. I think Georgia Tech could be there as well. To me, they seem like a team that has really good players but hasn't become a great basketball team. I don't think there's anybody in the league that wouldn't take James Banks III. He's been pretty incredible. And then Moses Wright, I keep calling him a young Montrezl Harrell. You know, they're a team that beat up on Louisville. They can win some games as well. I don't think the bottom probably four teams have a shot to really upset some of the bigger names. But you guys have talked about the blob all year. Those middle teams can upset some people.
By the way, the chances of an ACC team being a number one seed, and who do you think that is? Maybe Louisville gets kicked around a little bit after getting smacked last night. But Duke, Florida State, if they run the table, if I'm telling you right now, Luke, one of those two is going to run the table rest of the regular season and win the ACC tournament, you think that could be a number one seed?
I do. I think the quality at the top of this league, if you win against some of those teams in the ACC tournament, that you can definitely get a one seed. Florida State's a sixth-ranked team in the country. They just beat Louisville, who's number 11. They've got probably an easier schedule to finish out here. I don't think there's any reason they can't get a one seed. And you've seen some of the other teams struggle a little bit. You know, Baylor and Kansas is an awesome battle that will probably happen again in their conference tournament. Same thing with a few other conferences around the country. I don't think there's any question if one of these teams can make a run, you know, not have any stumbles through the rest of the regular season and then win an ACC championship, I think absolutely they could be a one seed.
All right. You're the man. Appreciate the time as always. Safe travels
guys.
This week.
I appreciate it.
Okay. You bet.
Yep. Give Chester and Fuller my best.
Done.
Chester and Fuller are eating sugar and spice cookies this hour. So,
of course.
Yes. Yeah.
As they should.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, there
What's
you go.
The problem?
All right. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it. Luke Hancock,
thanks,
you can see him. Nothing but net coming up this week and also an all ACC Saturday and Sunday.
And by the way, for the record, those aren't just regular sugar and spice cookies.
Oh, no.
There's a story behind them.
No. This came from Winston-Salem. This old Salem stuff here, Coach.
This is old school.
It's not stuff.
Growing up stuff is what this is.
My grandmother used to take these and crush up about five of them and sprinkle it over top of vanilla ice cream for her growing grandson.
We appreciate the person that sent these.
Yes, sir. This is
mover and shaker.
You guys want to see what this looks like here?
Yeah.
Look at that. Huh?
That's what's hiding behind the football.
Look right there now, kids. Mm. This is the spice. And that's the sugar.
Yeah. Fuller likes the spice.
Yeah. Fuller's been cutting into my detail.
Look at him. Look at my boy. Watch this.
Yeah. Yeah, look.
Hey, Kyle Guy, if the peanut butter and the steak doesn't work, spice cookies.
Look, really?
Love some spice cookies. Look at that.
You people at home want to know.
You know I'm going to get some.
You know what that is right there? That's live artillery.
Mr. Packer, you should not be feeding your dog people food.
That's
I'm going to get 100
artillery
of those.
Right there.
And guess what?
Is.
It's my dogs.
Live artillery.
It's the answer to the question.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
In about 15 minutes, talk Georgia Tech women's hoops because they are on a roll.
We got a box at 9:45.
Yep.
And it's Billy's birthday.
And Billy Packer turns 80 years young today, doing his thing. Big game tonight. Needless to say, we got three conference games of note, right? We got Duke Wake. It's kind of gotten lost today in the conversation.
Duke's trying to – now, Duke, technically, is still in the mix here.
No question. What are you talking about in the mix? They're sitting
large. Big time
large.
In the mix. They got a double bye secured with Florida State and Louisville after last night.
Because they got the tiebreaker on Florida State.
Correct.
That's why they're looming large.
Yes, they are.
They enjoyed that game last night, would be my guess.
Yes, sir. At Wake, at Virginia, NC State and Carolina at home to finish the regular season for Coach K.
There's still work to be done. Still work to be done, but Duke found themselves in a much better position at the end of that game last night in Tallahassee.
Well, yeah, because that's the kind of year we're having in this league now is you got to watch the other. I mean, you're getting a lot of help from certain teams whether you know it or not, on certain nights, right? Remember when Virginia had that great weekend, didn't even play.
Right, they moved up by default.
Yeah.
But Duke, you know, listen, they lost at home to Louisville, and they beat Florida State at home. That's their only sample size amongst the top three.
Right.
Now, they're going to still got, you know, opportunities down the road here. But Duke watched that game last night and said, thank you very much, Florida State. We kind of like that. I mean, Louisville's got the tiebreaker on us, so let's just put Louisville in the rearview mirror, and if we just go out and take care of our business. Tonight against Wake, and they've really had Wake's number.
Right. Yes.
They've really had Wake's number. They played them earlier this year, beat them 90-59. They've beaten the Deacs 11 straight. They've got five wins this year in the ACC by 30 or more points, Wake being one of them. Can you see any reason why this is close tonight? I'm just asking you point blank.
I think Duke wins. Obviously, so does BPI. But margin, who knows? I think Duke wins, but the margin, who you just don't know.
Wes, they had such, and no surprise, razor focus against Virginia Tech. And
you told
knew
you
that was coming,
I
right?
told you that.
They're up 26 at the half, and you're thinking, yikes. Mike Young, you kind of knew you were walking into a buzzsaw. Man, you sure did.
I thought Dave O'Brien and Corey were going to take calls second half.
Well, they could have. I mean, that was no surprise.
Right.
And you almost wonder, all right, was that jump start last week after – you know, getting it handed to you in Raleigh by NC State, is this what we're going to see Duke the rest of the way?
Right. To me, they have delivered consistent effort. I mean, that's what I think made last week in Raleigh such an outlier, was that was one of the rare times we have not seen them deliver
totally
a consistent
out of character.
Effort. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, is that all it took to get them lockstepped? Sure looked like it Saturday night, didn't it?
But, you know, Wake Forest got jacked when North Carolina rolled in there, and they just punked North Carolina. Now, granted, this is Duke.
Right.
I get it. Something tells me, you know, Duke had a couple games on the road, that BC game. I keep going back to that Boston College game, which they found a way to win. But they weren't really, when they were not dialed in, they fell behind early and just kind of played catch-up. Like, yeah, well, we'll eventually take care of this game.
Yeah.
Can't really do that in Winston-Salem. These Tobacco Road games sometimes get funky with you. Not paying attention.
Yeah. So the Tar Heels and Wolfpack, and an interesting dynamic here tonight, obviously, from the state Carolina perspective. But here's the other perspective. When we mentioned this in Barker Bite, Carolina's looking at a 2021 loss season if they can't find the way to scratch and then go to Greensboro at the ACC tournament potentially. And you're looking at, okay, how are they going to put this thing on the, you know, how are they going to put this thing in motion? And our man John, who called last week, right?
Yep.
You're thinking to yourself, North Carolina can't make the NCAA tournament. BPI says it's less than 1%. Do you know that in the history of the NCAA tournament pack, since 1985 when it went to 64 teams, that a couple of teams have actually met that challenge?
Now, well, let me ask you this. Fairfield, UCF, FIU. Any of those teams have to go through the likes of Duke, Louisville, Florida State to win it? I don't think so.
Well, Fairfield 97 won their tournament and then had to play Carolina and Winston-Salem in the first round.
Yeah, well, guess what? Those are all cute, nice, lovely stories. Those are big hugs or what those are. But the 15th place team this year in the ACC is not going to win the ACC tournament.
Okay. Just wanted to show that there
is. That's great. All that's tremendous. And you know what? If Fairfield's greatest team, UCF's greatest team, and FIU's greatest team showed up, they wouldn't win the ACC tournament this year either. I mean, you guys are reaching beyond belief on all this luck nonsense.
Let me just tell
you.
You
either can play or you can, I can't say it 100 times until somebody's going to pay attention. You guys are living in fantasy land with all this stuff. All of you. I'm pointing the finger at the guys in Bristol that keep giving me this thing every day. There's nobody in America that's talking about their 15th place team in their league going to win their tournament other than us two idiots in the basement.
By the way, if you're looking for the last ACC team to win the ACC tournament with a record under 500, you have to go back to 2004 when Maryland beat Duke in the finals at Greensboro behind the great effort and second half comeback of John Gilchrist. Roll the John Gilchrist video. Come on here, Pack. Look at here. He's, come on, how good is this? Getting some of that old Maryland intel, right?
Yeah, I watched Maryland this weekend lose at Ohio State. That's what I did. I mean, I loved it when Maryland was in the league. But you know what? Right now, they're not in the league anymore.
Yeah, I know. This is 2004 in Greenville, in Greensboro, rather. Duke had beaten Georgia Tech in the semis. What? We got a little history for you.
That's tremendous.
DJ Strawberry, by the way, was that on that Maryland team.
Yeah, that Maryland team, in their prime, wouldn't win this year's ACC tournament either.
Okay. Gotcha. Saying, we're just going through history here. Just kind of giving every...
How about being realistic? The only history you're telling me about is the fact that I think teams right now that are like 13, 14, 15 in this league history.
Right.
I mean, come on. We got three elite teams in this league.
I'm with you.
Virginia is on the cusp of playing their best basketball with championship DNA. And we're talking about teams that have won three conference games in 4 months trying to make some noise. Mm-hmm. Get in the real world.
All right, 844-SAY-ACCN. How about a call?
Great. Is it John? My man John going to say he has no faith in Florida State?
No.
Or Duke or Louisville, but thinks North Carolina's going to win 5 in 5 days?
No, it's Ray in Pennsylvania. Okay. We'll find out what Ray has for us. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. Recovering from cancer surgery, but...
Bless your heart.
God bless you.
Oh, God, I'm going at 1 o'clock today to get my stitches out, so...
Okay. Thoughts and prayers, my man.
Be well, my man. Take care.
Good fight.
Yep.
Last Tuesday, I got it removed, and they declared me cancer-free, so...
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's the good news. But I made it. So anyhow, I got a question. What do you think my Pitt Panthers got to do to make the NIT this year, or are they already in?
You know, they have been disappointing here the last couple of weeks. Kind of like last year a little bit, Wes, where they just kind of hit the wall, and I thought they were kind of past that, to be honest with you. The Clemson game to me was the one where they just got waxed at home, and I just didn't expect that to happen. And they've been on a kind of a free fall here. And with that guard play and, you know, there's some pieces there that I really like about this team. I really thought they would be playing better in February.
Yeah, I think the thing about it is that Pittsburgh falls into the category of several teams in this league. First of all, I look at the remaining three in the league, Syracuse at home, at NC State, and at Georgia Tech, and then you get your bye at the end. That's the unfortunate thing is Pittsburgh could be said, and this is an excuse, and I'll preface this by saying that, Pittsburgh's had to play this thing all the way through without a bye. They're the last bye in the rotation. I thought you'd be better scoring the ball. I didn't think 65.5 points would be the area we'd be talking about. The other part about it is I still wonder about shot selection, especially in league play. Are you getting the best shot? And you know what? It's seemingly like this, Ray. Every game is about a 25-minute, okay, they're 2-3 possessions down. Then all of a sudden the last 15 minutes – becomes this, you know, game where Pittsburgh makes this run and it's one possession and then you get in the last 5 minutes and it's back and forth, right?
Yep.
And it comes down to what shot are you going to get? Well, against people like Miami, Georgia Tech, teams like that, you're able to process the win. Carolina, you get the win. Against teams like Virginia, it doesn't seem, now I understand Virginia's a better defensive team than the other ones, but it doesn't seem to happen as often, if you will. The Virginia move, the Louisville move. Now, I know Pitt fans are going to be quick to point out the whistles and all that, and I'm not here for that. But I would have liked to have seen one more step be taken. Maybe you win one or two in the tournament. Maybe you put something together. I mean, you're 15 and 13. If you have a winning record, I think you're going to get in. You're probably not going to host. But I think a postseason trip, look, he's done a great job.
Yeah, we don't need to remind you of what Kevin Stallings looked like 2 years ago at 0-18. Oh. So Pitt's a long, long ways away from those days.
And even Jeff took some of those cards, and they only won 4 games.
Right.
So, I mean.
But I did think they would be better down the stretch. Because I was higher on Pitt getting to the middle tier of this league, and they still might. I mean, we still got a couple of weeks left.
Were you surprised the other day at the kind of the shot selection stuff at the end of the?
When you have really good guards, and Pitt does, you kind of hope at this stage, this is year two for those guys, that we kind of been through some of this. So we kind of understand how the game's played, and especially the way Jeff Capel likes to play. Mm-hmm. But again, there's still a couple of weeks left to see where this goes, but the last couple of weeks have been disappointing.
Yeah. All the best, Ray. Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Thinking of you.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hounds are looking for one more cookie. Wes continues to feed my dogs illegally.
What? 844. What are you talking about?
I mean, you know, you had the, you went low with the sugar cookie or the spice and you weren't paying attention and Fuller came up and just snatched it right out of your hand.
He sure did.
And had his muzzles right here looking because he knows there's one more left up here with his name on it.
Of course, Vicky will thank Fuller for eating the cookie out of my hand before I could get it into my grubby jaws.
It's all about timing.
There you go.
All right, 844, say ACCN. We'll take more of your phone calls before we get out of here. We got a mystery box we got to open at some point in time. Yeah. It is Billy Packer's birthday, which is great. And we have one more guest in the Power Hour because the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, the lady team, is absolutely balling at the right time of the year.
Florida State, the latest team to be knocked off by Nell Fortner's club. Kiara Fletcher, the guard from Warren, Michigan, joins us from Atlanta this morning. First of all, thanks for being a part of the program, and congratulations on the win over the Noles this weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So what's been the story? I mean, all of a sudden, hey, it's time to play. Looked like you disappeared for a while. The team's sitting there trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, Georgia Tech is winning huge games coming down the stretch. Got you in the tournament, according to some of these in bracketology. What's been the turning point?
I think the turning point for us is that we just need to continue to play hard and not worry about everything that's going on that we can't control and just control the controllables.
Yeah, well, Sunday seemed to you seemed to control them on Sunday. What was the turning point in the game?
You know, I think we all had a lot of emotions going into that game because obviously it was Pond's senior night and we wanted to get that win for her and send her out in style. So that was definitely a huge part of that game.
Yeah, you mentioned Francesca Pond, and Kier, I want to ask you about her because she's had a remarkable year, but at the same time, she's also been somebody that, and you all have, but in many respects, she was one of the veteran players that went through the transition and coaching and that kind of thing. And has come out on the other side and I think kind of been the front person for the return of the enthusiasm and the momentum this season has brought you guys.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Pond, she's a very special player. I think that she has an amazing amount of talent and the coaching staff, they've been great just pretty much guiding all of us into the right direction, especially her. And she's just having an amazing season. I think she's definitely playing with a sense of urgency because it is her last year with us.
And playing with Francesca, does one brush up on their Italian along the way?
You know, I tried. You would think I knew a little bit since I've been with her for 3 years, but it's been kind of hard because it's a hard language.
Kiara, your coach, Nell Fortner, has been on with us multiple times. And, you know, her positivity and upbeatness at all points in time, that has got to have a rub off on this team. When you met her for the first time and the way this team has started to react to her, the staff, and the way you guys have played, what was it like the first time you met her and the impact she's had on this team?
The first time I met her was great. We had a long conversation. I felt like I knew her forever, and like you said, her positivity is unmatched. There's been times where we've kind of been down on ourselves, and she's just kept that positive attitude, which kept us going, and it's a breath of fresh air just having her here and the supporting staff as well. It's just all positivity, and we love it.
Kiara, the other thing, too, is that positivity, I think, probably helped more when you guys had that little dip before this recent resurgence, right?
Absolutely. We definitely could have gotten down on ourselves during that point in time, but each day in practice we came back and we have another opportunity to get better, to get another win. And sometimes it was hard, but we definitely pushed through, and it was all thanks to Coach Nell with her positivity.
All right. Now, when we visited with her for the first time in October, You guys were not picked very high. I mean, you know, people saw Pond and yourself as players that had been a part of the program, but there was a lot of off-season transition, not just the coaching job, roster, and that kind of thing. So what was it like in the early portion of this season, and what do you think has caused the resurgence? Is it a buy-in, obviously, across the board, but what other elements kicked in here for you guys?
I think in the beginning, we definitely just had to get to know each other in a little bit when we first started practicing, but we immediately knew that we had something special here. Everyone on the team works hard. Everyone bought in with the coaching staff, and I think the buy-in and the fact that we never quit, that's what makes us a dangerous team.
Do you have any idea about bracketology? Is there any conversation amongst the team, coaches, friends, walking to class, teachers, anything else of where you fall right now in that big picture?
You know, there's always talks about the tournament, and right now we're just focused on getting this next win, because if we want to get to where we need to go, we need to win some games. So we're just focused on our next games.
You know, Kira, it's funny. We have asked that question to coaches and players for about the last week and a half to 2 weeks on the show. I'm telling you, every player and every coach has answered that thing the exact same way. There must be some great coaching going on, because I'm waiting for one player or coach to go, yeah, can you believe they've got us this in the net rankings or we're a 10 seed? Nobody has said that yet. So the focus has been outstanding. Congrats on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Tell me about Warren, Michigan. What do we need to know about Warren, Michigan? It seems like Warren, Michigan to Atlanta might have been a really good fit for you in a lot of ways, but what do we need to know about your hometown?
Definitely. Warren is about 10 minutes from Detroit, and Detroit and Atlanta, I think they're pretty similar. You know, they have some differences, so the transition from my hometown to here, it wasn't that bad at all because I'm used to the big city life, and I love it. It's a second home from home.
I tell you what they have in common, bad NFL football teams.
Whoa, wait a second. What are you talking about?
I can't argue knows. With you there. I can't argue
no,
with you
on.
There.
All right, I do this with every student athlete that comes on the show. What has been
At Georgia Tech, this ought to be good.
No nonsense here. What's the hardest class you've had at Georgia Tech, Kira?
My hardest class is actually currently right now I'm taking Modern China, so it's an experience to say the least.
All right, give us the lowdown. What's
Modern China?
What is Modern China?
I have to learn about the history of China. I had to learn some of the signs that they use for their language and their leaders and that they had. So it's challenging.
Okay. I'm going to ask this only because of Georgia Tech's curriculum, and having worked there so long, I always heard a few classes that I was like, there's no possible way I could crack the door, let alone open the book. What's the second hardest class?
My second hardest class. I would have to say it's in this semester as well. It's my seminar class on globalization. So it's a class of about 12 of us, and we have to write a research paper on globalization, so I'm currently working on that.
Yeah. Pac, you and globalization, how's that?
No problem.
No problem?
No problem at all. And look at the empire we've built here.
Yeah. We work out of a basement with two dogs. All right, Kiara, thank you so much for being a part of this. We wish you the best of luck closing down the regular season, and hope to see you next week in Greensboro, okay?
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You bet. Kiara Fletcher of Georgia Tech, one of the really good stories. Tell you what, the women's event next week. We're going to spend more time on that, obviously, front of next week before they get cranked up in Greensboro, and we'll be there Friday.
Well, we'll just look at the standings. Louisville's 14-2. NC State's 2 games back at 12-4. Duke with the win last night's 11-5. You got 3 teams at 10-6. Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Boston College, and Georgia Tech's red hot.
Yeah.
And Syracuse, another team that was on the verge until they got upset by Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going 8 or 9 deep with the ladies when they get to Greensboro next week. It's going to be good. It'll be very, very competitive.
When we come back, you may or may not remember that in the early days of this show, what is this, episode 128?
That would be correct.
Yeah. In the early days of this show, Mark Packer got a present from an establishment in the ACC and said, you know what? Be good to have something from every establishment in the ACC. Well, when we come back, somebody in the ACC footprint who has an establishment has answered the bell.
Oh, nice. Excellent. About time.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
All right, Mr. Durham. You have a delivery of which I have no earthly idea what we're doing here.
Well, we got this yesterday. And appreciate Dave Parker for sending this.
Former Pittsburgh
Pirate? No, not the Pittsburgh Pirate. Why don't you start with that? This is from Amedeo's in Raleigh. And it says on the cup, backing the pack since 1963. Okay. Now look at Mark's. Yeah. Might want to focus in. Here's mine. Mine, they gave us personalized cups for the show. Mark Packer, West Durham. Packers has a right-handed golfer.
It's okay. Thought he counts.
Mine has the Falcons logo. Very kind. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. Okay.
When are we going to this place to eat? I mean, the cups are nice, and I'm not trying to knock it, but I am about ready to head to Raleigh and grab something to eat.
I give Dave credit. Dave gets a lot of credit on this event. First of all, because he's accepting the Esso Club Challenge. Remember when you challenged all these places, right? Yeah. Dave is the museum curator at Amedeo's, which is an NC State place, right? Mm-hmm. Dave also sent us a picture from 1984. And the technician, Roger Winstead, took this picture. And this is Michael Jordan and Lorenzo Charles at Carmichael Auditorium.
Oh, nice.
How good is this one?
That's a good one.
Yeah. So, Dave, we appreciate that very much.
We'll definitely put that up.
That's going up somewhere. Sure. So, there you go. You take care of that.
Got it.
And then the coup de grace.
Food?
No.
Nah.
No, but it's good food. You know why it's good food? Because it's Italian, as they say.
Italian.
Fuller thinks it's food.
All that side.
Yeah.
Look at this. Now we got a banner. We got another banner from Amedeo's.
Like it.
Then we get an Esso Club banner too, right?
Esso Club flag.
Flag. Mm-hmm. We got now an Amedeo's banner.
Nice.
We got to get a bigger basement. You guys got to move.
What we need is the sales department to call these guys to get a sponsorship.
So, Dave, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We do need to make an
appearance.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be allowed based on previous phone calls today because the Wolfpack's not winning when old Durham shows up, apparently.
Well, then that might be a good reason for just go to the restaurant and not do the game. State wins and we get fed. Seems like a win-win proposition given your curse of the Wolfpack.
Well, there you have it. So
Fuller thinks there's stuff in here to eat.
Fuller, you go right ahead and get in that box. And Dave Parker, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Very much appreciated. And Dave says, come see us. So
we will.
Pack, that's your speed right there.
One of these days, they'll let me out of the basement.
Yep. So that's that. Now, Billy's birthday.
Yep.
You referred to the Inside Sports College Hoops preview over there on the wall behind you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off, but I didn't realize this. This thing is a 1983-84 preview. This picture that you see behind me, right? And it's the legendary late great Al McGuire and Billy Packer
with Akeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, I put $2 bills, clumps of $2 bills over the University of Houston jersey of Akeem. There were some people that were really upset. They mean, you can't have a guy from Houston on the show. I said, okay, fine. We'll put $2 bills, clumps of $2 bills over Akeem's. Right. But I was sitting here reading. They are the preview magazine of 83-84 was going through who they think the first team all college basketball was going to be that year.
Okay. 83-84.
All right. Now, just to put things in perspective, because if I asked you today, who is college basketball's player of the year right now? The answer is what?
Obi Toppin at Dayton.
You may get that. You may get 10 answers, is my point. You may get 5 or 6 or 7. It is as wide open a player of the year of all time, right?
Yeah, very wide open.
So during the break today, during the show, and I'd never read this before, they have a list of just some names for that particular year.
All right.
Akeem.
Sure.
Patrick Ewing.
Sure.
Tisdale. Lee, Jordan.
Keith Lee.
Now, just let those five marinate a second, and you wonder where college basketball is in a second.
Yeah.
Now, again, is Garza your guy from Iowa? I mean, you could go up like, all kinds of places.
Oh, yeah, Luke Garza.
Right.
Garzilla.
There's all kinds of places you could go. I mean, even if we have a conversation regarding the ACC player of the year.
ACC player of the year is going to be very interesting because Vernon Carey has...
I think he's the leader in the clubhouse. Be my guess.
Yeah.
Now, I thought Jordan Ward last night had an opportunity to shine. Got off to a good start, but the second half, there was a zero there.
I thought Lauren Brownlow brought an interesting point about Florida State on the first-team ballot. Devin Vassell and Trent Forrest. Trent Forrest is as good as it gets in the league.
Good player.
But
man.
Do they offset one another?
I think they do. They complement each other to form a great team. And
look, I love Elijah Hughes, but they're just kind of a middle-of-the-stack team here.
They're 8-8.
Right.
Middle of the glob. Top of the glob, actually.
Yeah. So.
That's why that all-ACC thing will be very interesting.
That's why you should vote. You should vote.
I'm going to get to the medias.
No. Do we have this tweet, by the way, ready? Bristol? From Steve? Oh, okay. I was hoping we had that ready. Had to do with Billy's birthday.
Yeah, you know, what do you get Billy for his birthday?
What did you get Billy for his
birthday? We had a surprise dinner for he and Barb.
Last week.
Private chef. We went big time. Really, it was my sister that gets all the credit, Liz.
Liz did a nice job. Way
she
to go,
put
Liz.
All together and we wrote checks.
Thumbs up, Liz.
Right. Sorry, yeah, Fuller.
Sorry, Fuller. You didn't get any of that food.
Here, look some of this.
Here, have the bowl of that. Yeah, go ahead, try that.
Quiet for a while. So, you know, what do you get Billy for his birthday? The guy's 80 years old, still working, still hustling.
Yeah.
Got all kinds of deals left and right.
Sure.
I mean, what do you get him? You get him a card.
You got him a card for his 80th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dinner, of course.
Yeah.
But what else you got?
Did he enjoy dinner?
Dinner was fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, our man Wallace.
Did he behave himself at dinner?
Yeah. Because it was a surprise for both Billy and Barb.
Okay.
It was for both of them. Because, you know, Barb's birthday is coming up on Sunday. So it's a big birthday week for us in the household. So, again, happy birthday to Billy today. 80 years young.
We're getting Barb a present?
Oh, yeah. Barb's going to get some. Barb, we take care of Barb. Billy, yeah.
And your birthday is week after next.
My imaginary birthday is March 10th, according to the internet.
If you all don't know the inside joke, Mark's birthday is actually in the fall.
In October.
Yeah.
About as far away as you can get.
But the internet said his birthday was March the 10th.
Yeah, back in October, I said, yeah, boys, I got this big birthday coming up. And the boys in Bristol are like, well, no,
but
you
your
don't.
Your birthday is March the 10th. What are you talking about?
I know when my birthday is.
Yeah.
Since you're in the internet, it's March 10th. So I said, all right, I'll tell you what, we're just going to go with it. We're just going to go with March 10th, even though, guys, I'm telling you, it's October.
So, when we're in Greensboro, we'll be celebrating your birthday.
My imaginary birthday. Angel Cabrera 2, birthday, March 10th.
Yeah.
That's happening.
By the way, John Herman, retired firefighter. Thank you, John, for your public service.
Amen to that. All
says, he's shaking my head. Some people blaming you for NC State losing.
Yeah, man, that was ridiculous earlier today.
Kevin Keats still talks to me.
Everybody should talk to you. You're
well,
a broadcast.
I don't know about that.
But it's got nothing to do with the outcome of a game.
That was funny. I was waiting on that call. I just didn't think it would be today.
By the way, what kind of odds would you have had if I would have told you that Isaiah Wong at Miami would have more Freshman of the Week awards
than Cole Anthony?
Than Cole Anthony. What kind of odds? If I would have said to you back in October, you know what? While Brian Ives had the pom-poms out, if I would have said to you, you know what, this Cole Anthony guy is a really good player,
right?
But this Wong guy at Miami is going to have twice as many Freshman of the Week awards than Cole Anthony. What kind of odds would you have gotten on that one?
Some good ones.
Is that correct? I mean, that's the truth, though.
Yeah.
He's now going back-to-back Freshman of the Week awards from Miami. He's playing out of sight. Of course, Likes and those guys were banged up for a while, and he stepped up and played really well. But he's won it twice, and Cole Anthony won the first one.
And Devin Daniels, by the way, is the ACC Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
We met with Coach Mack, by the way, who was sensational on this show, Joanna Burnaby McNamee. Taylor Soule, the ACC Women's Player of the Week. And Miss Kitley from Virginia Tech won the Rookie of the Week for the third time and the second week in a row.
I know that we
on the ladies' side.
I know that we kicked around a bunch of what ifs with one seeds. Would it be Louisville on the ladies' side, or maybe it's Duke and Florida State on the men's side?
Right.
The AP poll, which really doesn't matter, quite frankly, but I'm going to just throw this one on you just to show you how diverse this tournament is going to be coming up. The AP poll comes out yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
The AP top 15 teams, the top 15 teams in the latest AP ranking, there are a grand total of 9 different conferences represented. 9. Is that crazy?
Crazy.
This tournament's going to be unbelievable in 3 weeks.
Yes, it is. Great show. Thanks to Coach Mack, Lauren Brownlow, Luke Hancock, Kiara Fletcher.
Do not forget Amedios.
We Dave got Parker cups. And the people at Amedios.
We have cups.
Yeah, we got cups. Back in the pack since 1963, right there. Don't worry. We'll show up at Amedios, and Packer will be hungry.
Yeah, don't bring the menu. Just bring the food. That's how we roll.
Full show tomorrow. We will cover the 3 games tonight. Headlined by Duke and Wake on this network at 7, Georgia Tech at Clemson at 9. Thanks to everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Packer and Durham, start your morning at 7 right here on ACC Network. Ish. Yeah, 7:03.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.